everyone tonight? Good. Well, I want to continue with the prayer series. This is part three for those of you who are following along. And if you missed some of the parts and you want to go back to it, I think it's all online, so you can check it out. Tonight, if you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, and we'll start reading there tonight. One of the things I wanted to do with prayer is I wanted to take maybe a little bit of a different approach to it, because it's probably one of the most covered topics, I think, as pastors preach. But tonight, maybe a little bit more back to a traditional take on it, but I want to bring a couple of things to your attention, I think, that would maybe help you and maybe help you understand how to have a better, more healthy prayer life. So, Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 4. I apparently have some really old memory attached to this. I must have read this when I was a kid or memorized it when I was a kid, because when I read this, it takes me back to a memory of my grandma, so I don't know what that's about. But anyway, Philippians chapter 4, beginning verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, I will say it again, rejoice." Do you guys remember that? Do you guys remember a kid's song about that? Anybody? Okay, I think I got the rest of the memory, you know? Yeah, you know the song, huh? No. Oh, yeah. Okay, it's hit me now. Okay, I heard it. Okay. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Okay, thank you, because that was the thing that was killing me, okay? I remember something, okay? Yeah, I guess my grandma taught me that. That's how she got in the story. I don't know. All right. So here it goes. This is the rest of it. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Man, there is a lot of stuff in this passage right here. I think I could preach probably for a month straight on it. However, I won't. I'll try to pack it all in tonight. But there are some things in here that kind of jumped out at me that I want to talk with you about. It talks about here that we're to rejoice in the Lord always, and it ends up that, like, rejoicing is kind of the state we're supposed to be in all the time. I don't know if we really, you know, grab hold of that. I'm not sure that, I mean, I remember singing the song. Apparently, it didn't stick too well, because there are times in my life I don't look like I'm rejoicing very much. How about you guys? Okay? I don't know. You know, issues happen in life, things happen in life, and then I find myself not really rejoicing. But here's the thing. It says rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't say rejoice in your problems and rejoice in all the issues of life. It says rejoice in the Lord, because we understand that it is the Lord who deals with the issues of life, right? So if you don't like the issues of life, focus on the Lord. It's always good, right? All right? So we're talking about here this lifestyle of rejoicing, and it's really our natural state as Christians. You see, here's the deal, is that the reality of our situation today, or our worst times or whatever, the reality of our situations in life is not what we see and not this current situation, but it's what God's working out. And we don't always live there, but it's like living out into the future of God's answer. And a lot of times we have a hard time with that, because we say, well, I don't know what God's going to do, but I can tell you whatever he's going to do is going to be good. So can we rejoice today in the fact that we know that God has tomorrow? Because it's all about rejoicing in the Lord. We rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in our future, because the Lord is our future, and he's the one who dictates future. So it's easy for us to understand how we take on this lifestyle of rejoicing, but maybe it's not so easy to walk it out, but it's easy to understand it, right? So this is why we rejoice, because we understand that whatever you're facing today, anybody facing something today or this week or anything? Okay, this is kind of one of those weeks for you. All right, so here's the thing, that whatever you're dealing with and whatever you've lifted to the Lord, God is at work in that right now, and there are things happening in the background, and God has your future sealed and this issue already sealed for you. And so today, you get to rejoice in that. You get to lay it all down and say, I already gave it to the Lord. He's already working things out, so I'm living in the reality of my future that might just be days away, might be hours away, might be tomorrow morning, who knows, right? But God's got it taken care of. So we rejoice in that reality. Because sometimes we just look a little bit too serious, don't we? I don't know. There is nothing like an issue to make you all serious, right? I mean, have you ever, like, everything's going along good, you get a weird phone call, next thing you know, you're all like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what that look is, but it's not the rejoicing look. It's like the we got something serious going on look, you know what I mean? And I've had that happen, you know? I call it drama. I just throw it in the drama pile. But it's still life, right? Sometimes we just look too serious. And on top of rejoicing, it says that people are supposed to notice our gentleness. Okay, here's the thing. Rejoicing people are gentle people, right? I mean, if you're rejoicing, there's nothing more gentle than a rejoicing person, right? You're just so happy, everything's so wonderful. I got nothing but gentleness, right? I mean, so we understand how those things go hand in hand. So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, and people ought to notice your gentleness, right? Well, let me not paraphrase that. Let your gentleness be evident to all, okay, just to be exact. So the thing is, your gentleness isn't going to happen without the rejoicing. So let's get the rejoicing down so the gentleness just follows, right? Those two things are actually really important in life. And sometimes we read through that stuff and we think, oh, that's the fluff. You know, it's like, yeah, wouldn't it be nice, right? Wouldn't it be nice if we were just rejoicing all the time? Wouldn't it be nice if we were always gentle? And it's not a matter of wouldn't it be nice. It's like, it's a directive. And sometimes we don't read these things as directives because it seems like it's the fluff. It's like the icing on the cake. And it's not the icing on the cake. It is the cake. You know what I mean? It's important for us. The scripture goes on to say this: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Okay, here's what the Bible says. Anxiety is not for us. It's not our deal. But we got a lot of anxious people in the room, right? I mean, because that stuff happens. Like, we get anxiety, we deal with some stuff. And so, the thing is, it says here that anxiety, do not be anxious about anything. That is a directive also. Don't be anxious about anything. And some people go, oh, that's great, now I'm good. You just told me not to, and everything's good now. It doesn't work that way, right? Because there's some stuff that has to change in our hearts to where we get out of the lifestyle of anxiety. Because here's the thing, if we're so busy rejoicing, there's no time to be anxious. Isn't that just true? Because we're actually rejoicing about the future that is to come because God has our future. Matter of fact, God even has today. He has tomorrow. He has all of your issues. He has everything taken care of. So because he's handling it, you get to rejoice. And because you're rejoicing, anxiety is not for you, right? And it all comes together really nice like that on paper. But it's not always like that in life. You know the reason why they talk about anxiety here not being a part of our life? You know, it sounds like we read it and we think, of course, yeah, we shouldn't be anxious because God's got it. But there's a bigger issue. There's a bigger reason why it says anxiety is not for you. It's not for you. It's not for me. And the reason why is because anxiety is a manifestation of a lot of things that are very detrimental to our spirit. Anxiety is a manifestation of fear in your life. Do you know that? It's a manifestation of a lot of things, but fear for sure. Because the thing is, we're anxious about things because we're afraid that it may not go the way we want it to go. We're afraid that it might not work out the way we think it ought to work out. We're afraid that bad things might happen. We're afraid of our shadow. We're afraid of a lot of stuff, right? So the whole point is that when we have anxiety, it's a manifestation of fear in our hearts, not just the thought of fear, but something that's actually driving us. Does that make sense? Because our actions are driven by what our heart really thinks. And so anxiety is also a manifestation of uncertainty. It's like, I don't really know what's going to happen, and so then the uncertainty sets in, and then we begin to be fearful about the uncertainty because we're afraid of a lot of stuff, and then anxiety begins to set in, and anxiety develops out of that. We also know that anxiety is a manifestation of worry. I'm worried about this not working out. I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about my marriage. I'm worried about worry, and I'm worried about worrying so much. You know what I mean? I'm worried. Anybody ever worried before? But when we're anxious about things, it's like it's a manifestation of worry, which is a heart condition of saying, I'm concerned that this may not go the way I want it to go, or I'm concerned that maybe God's not going to have his way in this. It's also a manifestation of distrust in God. It's a manifestation of disbelief in God's abilities. And it's also a manifestation of unworthiness at times in our life and saying, I just don't feel like I'm worthy of God's hand in my life in this way. Man, anxiety has a lot of issues to it. It's a very multifaceted issue that affects you from top to bottom spiritually and even physically and certainly emotionally. And so this anxiety issue is a big issue, and it's almost covered very matter-of-factly, but in fact, it's a very huge issue in our life because it manifests what's really going on in our hearts. It's manifesting what's going on in our minds, and it's manifesting really where we're living. And that's an issue for us. So the Bible goes on to say, don't be anxious about anything. And it doesn't say, Don't be anxious about the things that you know God's got. No, it's don't be anxious about anything. Don't be worried about the food you're going to eat, the clothes you're going to wear. Don't be worried about how the situation in court is going to go next week. Don't worry about whether or not you got a ticket or not, or whatever the case is, or, you know, I don't know, whatever the worries are in your life. But it's not about that. Don't be anxious about anything, it says. It says in every situation, in every situation, through prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And as you read this, the word through really stood out to me because it says that we're supposed to, in every situation, through prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, present the things to God. There's something happening here. It's like the methodology of how we do it. It's the by way of prayer and by way of petition and by way of thanksgiving, lift your request to God. It's a little different. There's something about those three items that is actually more of a heart set than it is a list of things to do. And I say heart set because, you know, we're used to having mindsets about things, you know, but I want you to understand that it's what we have our mindset upon is very much like how we have our heart set upon something, so we're going to call it a heart set if we can. So it starts out by saying that through prayer, we present our requests to God. The whole idea of prayer is like, well, you know, of course I'm going to talk to God and I'm going to tell Him what I want, but prayer is really not about that as they talk about it here. Prayer is actually about adoration of God. You know that we're sitting here with the Lord and we're actually adoring Him and we're exalting Him and we're like honoring His place in our life. So by way of honor and by way of exaltation, by way of presenting God as who He really is, then we present our things to the Lord, but not any other way. By way of adoration, we approach God. By way of adoration, you present your issues to the Lord. And I don't know that we always do it that way because sometimes we let our emotions and things get a hold of us to the point where adoration is no longer a part of the process for us. And I don't say that adoration is like step number one and make sure you do all the three steps because if you don't do them, it's not going to work and God doesn't hear. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if you really want to have a relationship and an encounter with God, it starts with adoring Him enough to pray to Him and actually present yourself before Him rightly. Does that make sense? So prayer is about adoration. It's about glorifying God. It's about exalting Him. But you know what else it's about? It's about submitting yourself to Him. Submission is a huge thing in life. Submitting yourself to Him before you submit your request to Him, because it's your life that belongs to Him. It's not just about the issues of life. So this whole idea of prayer is actually like placing your heart before the Lord, submitting yourself to the Lord before you submit your issues to the Lord. There's something about that that's really so adoring and so exalting of God and saying, God, I love You and I trust You so much that I just want to spend some time with You before I talk to You about what's going on in my life. But I want this meeting that we're having, this encounter that we're having, to really be more about relationship and less about what I want. And when we do that, that starts things off on the right foot with God. The second thing it says is that we're supposed to petition. And of course, petitioning is like communicating our needs and our problems with God. And so some people have a theology that says, I don't really want to talk about problems. I don't really have problems. I just want to kind of, you know, talk generally about things. No, get real with God. God can handle your reality of your life. If you're sick, you're sick. If you have an issue, you have an issue. It's okay for you to get real about things, talking about your real problems and your real needs. And there's got to be this honesty about it that you're just basically like, Lord, I'm laying out where I'm really at with stuff. I want you to follow me with this. This whole petitioning to God is really critical to spiritual health. This whole petitioning process. Some of the passages say supplication, but the idea is that you petition God. And so this is a really important part of our spiritual health because here's the issue. A problem that is meditated upon begins to take a life of its own. I mean, any of you who've done this, you know what I'm talking about. I lived there for a lot of years. I was a specialist. I was an expert. I had business cards, okay? I mean, I knew how to meditate on problems. I was really good at it. So the issue is that when we begin to meditate on these, they take on a life of their own. And when they take on a life of their own and we begin to meditate on the issues of life and our problems in life, then they are actually allowed to bond with our emotional insecurities. And I'll tell you, this was what was really devastating to me. When you meditate on the issues of your life and then your emotional insecurities get to be bonded to them, it's like a spiritual chemistry lesson, okay? These things bond together. and when they bond together, they create a really serious issue in your life. They did for me, and I know they do for a lot of people. And what happens is fear and distrust and worry is born, and it begins to set in. And for any of you who've been down this road or understand how this works, it's really just how it works in our lives. That's why it's so important that we're in this mindset of rejoicing and in this heart set of adoration for God, and that we have everything in its right place mentally, the way we see the Lord, the way we see issues, and the way we see life. It's really important that we have it together, because if we don't, these problems begin to take kind of on a life of their own, and we become anxious and we lose the rejoicing and the gentleness we were instructed to have, because we allow problems to become a focal point in our life. So when we finally resort to prayer, and I say resort to prayer because for some people, when they're in this mindset, it's one of the last things we do. It's not on the front end of the process anymore. Adoration is out the window, and instead of bringing our needs and problems to God, we bring spiritually unchecked emotions and solutions to God. That is a huge issue for us. I don't know how many times that I have done this, and I know that I've seen other people do it, so I'm not completely alone in this, is that I allow my mind to meditate on these issues, and I have all these things welling up inside of me, every bit of insecurity, every worry, every problem, all this stuff is like churning inside of me, and that's what I take to the Lord. I take to Him all my unchecked spiritual emotions that show everything I don't believe and every issue I have in my faith. I take all this junk before the Lord and I lay it out there before Him. Instead of petitioning Him, I'm actually bringing a solution to Him. And God says, I never asked you to bring anything but your request to me. I don't need your solutions. And I mean, for years and years and years, the only thing I brought to God in this petitioning process was my lack of faith and my solutions that I thought were what He ought to do. And you know, I never built relationship with God that way. Nobody ever does. God says, I want you to only lay the issue out before me, and I want to work those things out for you. But I don't want you to come here with a lack of faith in me, not even believing that I'll do anything, and then tell me how to do it. And I did it for years. And I think some of you have probably even done those things. But it never works. You know, this lack of honor and respect in relationship becomes kind of a way of life if we're not careful, and we wonder why we don't see God move. You know, there's no formula to this, but there's a condition of our hearts that needs to be right. And when you look at this passage, it's not a checklist. It's like, is my heart really here? List. Do I really adore God? Do I really bring the issues of life to Him as though I believe He'll handle them? Or am I treating Him as though I really don't have any faith in Him and I need to help Him along in case He can't understand my problems? Or maybe He can't figure out the solution, so I'm going to make sure I bring the solution to Him and make it easy for Him. I mean, how small have we really made God in the way we approach Him? You know, it's time that we quit bringing solutions and unfounded fears and doubt and anxiety before God and treat God like the all-powerful God that He really is. And you know, I think for a long time I thought, you know what, it's okay. I'm just going to bring my lack of faith and I'm going to bring all these things to the Lord. And you know, I followed the Lord for years. And if people were asking me, do you trust God? I absolutely trust God. You know, do you know that He's working in your life? Yes, I do. Do you know that He cares about your situation? I absolutely know that. And then you know what I would do? I would have an issue in life. And I would stare at the issue and I would meditate on the issue and I would turn it around and around and I would look at every possible solution to the issue. I'd make myself sick about the issue. I would talk to people about the issue. I petitioned everybody but God about my issue. And then by the time I took it to the Lord, I was so exhausted with my issue. I'm like, look, fix this. Here's what I need you to do. So not only was I exhausted, but I never really built relationship with God. And when things didn't work out the way I wanted them to, I wondered where God was, and I wondered whose side He was really on. And the issue was really in my heart because I really didn't care about relationship. I wanted what I wanted. And I wanted all my unchecked feelings to be gone. I wanted Him to deal with all the sickness inside of me, but I never asked for that. I only asked for the things that I wanted. And it's like I could almost feel God sitting back and saying, you're not giving me what I need, and I need you. I know about all your problems. I've been listening to them for days. That's not it. I want to know you. And then God began to do a breaking in me to get me to understand that he just really wants my heart and he wants to know me. He not only cares about my situation and knows what I need, but he actually cares about me. And he cares about you. And when we begin to understand that, it changes the way we petition God for things. You know, this approach is what makes submission in our lives and problems and emotions possible. You know, when I really know who God is and I really know how he feels about me and I understand where he's at, this whole submission thing is not even an issue. Because when you trust God to the level of that we say we trust God and we know that he's able to do all these things and he's in all these things, man, submission's nothing. You know what? Take my issues, take my problems, take my life. You're going to do a better job than me anyway. I know you will. And then submission's not a problem. But when we don't have those things resolved in our hearts and we're working over our issues and we're meditating on our issues, we never get to a place where we fully trust him, and submission's almost an impossibility for us. You know, it talks about thanksgiving here too. You know, if we're able to present our request to God with a spirit of adoration and peace, then we can move into the last heart condition that we're talking about, and that's thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is made possible by exalting God in the midst of trials. I mean, like at the very get-go, right, that, you know, we start out with this whole adoration piece, that we find ourselves praying to God out of adoration, not out of wants and needs and out of this stuff, but we find ourselves just building relationship. So when we're exalting God in the midst of trials, thanksgiving's possible. Adoring him even though we don't understand everything he does. Can we do that? Is it possible to adore a God you don't understand completely? That's where we've got to be, right? And you know, it's interesting because people will say, yeah. And then I deal with people on really deep issues of life where they had something very serious to them, something that they really wanted more than anything, and they didn't get that. And I say, do you adore God now? And they're like, I'm not sure. See, adoration seems to have a price a little bit when it comes to getting what we want. But it's important that we adore him through those times, even though we don't understand him. And we need to get to a place where we trust him, and then thanksgiving's possible, and presenting our requests before him and knowing that he's moving and allowing peace and thankfulness to overwhelm our emotions instead of the problems. Man, there is nothing more peaceful than taking the issue of life and giving them to the God who made you, who can handle everything. There's no question. You lay them down before him and say, God, I adore you because you are absolutely amazing. You have my whole life in your hands. I give you this issue because I don't want it anymore, and I really want you to handle it. And you know what? Since you're sovereign, you can do whatever you want. I'm not even going to tell you how to do it because I know that you're going to do the very best for me, and I'm going to be blown away by what you do. So I just give it to you, and I'm not going to pray any specific solution or anything. I'm just going to say, Lord, I give you this, and I just want you to move in it, and I can't wait to see what you do. Anybody have enough faith to pray that? Because you don't necessarily get what you want that way, but you end up with the right thing that way. And some people say, you need to pray specifically for what you want and do all this. That's fine, but then you also need to know specifically that it's God's will. You have to be absolutely 100% sure that's God's will in order for that to work out, because God is going to operate within his will, not outside of it. But my whole thing is, imagine the faith involved in a prayer where you say to God, look, this is the issue of my life. Now, imagine that the issue is the health of your child. It's a life and death situation with your child. Are you willing to pray the prayer, Lord, here's my son or here's my daughter. They're facing a life and death situation, but I hand them to you and I say, Lord, whatever you choose to do with my son or daughter is okay with me. Man, that's a wild prayer. If you really want to test the limits of faith, try it. At what point do we pull back and start giving God solutions? Is there a limit to us, or can we give him everything? For some people, that's a really hard thing. How about a marriage that's broken? Lord, I'm going to give you my marriage, and however it ends up is okay, Lord. I know you're working in me, and I'm responsible for me, but whatever you choose to do with my marriage, I place it in your hands. And I pray that you're working in them as well as working in me at the same time. Man, some of these things are just hard things to pray. But it's where life is lived. And it's easy for us to be thankful when we finally have that level of faith where we just say, Lord, do with it what you will. And I love you and I submit today to your sovereignty. in my life and in my children's life and in my marriage. I submit to your sovereignty in everything. And whatever you choose to do, I'm absolutely 100% okay. Man, there's something in that that brings absolute glory to God because he gets put in the driver's seat completely. And there's nobody telling him what to do or anything. It's like, you know what? He gets to actually work out his will in your life. Is there anybody who wants to find out what God's will is? There's where you go right there. The scripture goes on to say, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And it's this peace that guards your hearts and your minds while we wait for God's answer to be seen. And God gives that peace, and it's like this special gift that he gives when you finally petition him and give it to him, and you're thankful for all this, and it just, everything falls in line. That God does something in your heart when it comes to that, and he seals that issue for you, and he gives you a peace that transcends all understanding so that you can move on in the waiting time until you see God's answer. I'll tell you, that's a wonderful gift too. But you don't know it until you go through it, until you go to that place. But then life continues, and new issues arise, and so there is a final addition to this thought that he writes here. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the Lord God of peace will be with you. This right here is an important way to live life because this takes you to the place of rejoicing, right? This whole thing makes full circle. If you are focusing on these things, whatever is trustworthy, whatever is right, whatever is, you know, whatever is all these lovely and admirable, whatever all this is, think about such things. And you know, rejoicing is not that hard to get to then, right? And then you find yourself having the gentleness. Make sure your gentleness is evident to all. And the whole circle begins all over again. And then when you have issues in your life and you go through things, make sure that you actually approach the Lord with prayer and petition and thanksgiving. And at the end, as God begins to answer those prayers and begins to move in that, God puts a peace upon your heart that transcends all understanding to carry you through that and out the other side of it. And all the while, when life is happening, you're still thinking about everything that's trustworthy and praiseworthy and admirable and lovely. What a cool way to live life. I mean, when you read that, it's just like such a full circle. It's like the, I always think of Lion King, the circle of life, you know what I mean? But it's like the spiritual circle of life. You know, some people look at that and say, well, you're in denial or you just don't have a in touch with reality. But I can tell you, whenever you're in touch with the reality of who God really is, you really know reality finally. Yeah. It's not what you see here, and it's not what the problems you have in life, and it's not all the schemes of Satan that it makes reality. It's the things that God is doing behind the scenes and the things he's working out. That is where reality is really lived for us. It's not what you see, it's what you know by faith. Does that help at all tonight? I know this was a little point by point tonight, which is not always my way, but I think this is kind of an important piece to it all. And again, as I talk to you about this stuff tonight, it's not this formula, even though my mind works kind of in formulas, it's not that way. It's just that as you begin to live the way God's called you to live and work through things with him relationally, it comes full circle again and continues to get better and better as time goes on. Because as you exercise your faith and you petition the Lord and you adore him and you thank him, that process gets deeper and deeper into your heart and it becomes a part of who you are and it becomes a lifestyle, not just a thing you check off, but it becomes a lifestyle for you and it becomes a way of life in the way you live with the Lord and the way you relate to him in prayer. So I hope this was helpful on some level tonight. What I'd like to do, I just want to pray over you tonight and ask the Lord through his Holy Spirit to settle this message into your hearts, and I want you to take it home with you tonight and really think about it and meditate on it. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for what you're doing in this place tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that we have this connection with you in prayer, that we can just have this conversation with you, and we can have time to really just let you know how much we adore you and love you, and we also have this time where we can sit down with you and just talk to you about the real issues of our life. And Lord, I thank you that we can leave them right there with you and that we don't have to walk out with them. That we can leave them with you and knowing that you're working things out. And Lord, that's really what takes us to this place where we have a real thankful heart toward you. Lord, we thank you for caring about us and for loving us and for working through the issues of our life. And Lord, it's so awesome that we can just place these issues with you, and we know that you're working things out, Lord. Help us to rest in that. Lord, help us to rest in this peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I pray that you help us also, Lord, to submit our lives to you completely. Lord, it's not just about submitting our issues to you, but we want to submit our lives to you today so that you can really move completely without hindrance in our life, Lord. Lord, I just thank you and praise you for all you're doing in our hearts, and I thank you for what you're doing through this series. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to strengthen us daily and build our faith with you, Lord, so that we can live a life of rejoicing. Lord, I pray that we just don't take this life so seriously, that we can't just rejoice every day in you. Lord, I know that the issues of life still happen, but Lord, through it all, through the difficulties and through the trials and the challenges, Lord, there's always you. Lord, help us to rejoice in you every day. Lord, I just thank you and praise you for what you're doing in this place and in our lives, Lord. Pray your blessing over each and every person here today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Before Marianne closes us tonight, I have something I want to announce for next week. For those of you who know Guillermo Parra from Bogota, Colombia, he'll be here next week, and he will be speaking in the service, and I don't know if it'll be prayer-related or not. We may take a slight deviation from where we've been, but he's going to be here next Wednesday to speak, so I just wanted to let you know he's coming, and it's a real blessing because he doesn't make it out this way very often. So, cool.
Amen. Wow, this has been good.